Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel 18, and I'm going to be reading from verse 1 through verse 15. We have been going through in 1 Samuel the life of David. It doesn't start with David. It starts with the birth of Samuel, and then we get King Saul. Last week, we went over the story of how David defeated Goliath. Now, before this, Saul was having his problems. He was not the brave man that he should have been. He had sinned against God. And God says there's going to be a new king. And last week we saw who that new king is. David, who defends the honor of God. This week in chapter 18, we're going to start to see the problems that Saul has with David and a little bit more about David's character. Let's read verse 1 of chapter 18. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. And from that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. And Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Whatever mission Saul sent him on, David was so successful that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. This pleased all the troops and Saul's officers as well. And when the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, with joyful songs and with timbrels and lyres. And as they danced, they sang, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands." Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. "They have credited David with tens of thousands," he thought, "but me, only 1,000. What more can he get but the kingdom?" And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. And the next day, an evil spirit from God came forcefully on Saul, and he was prophesying in his house. And while David was playing the lyre, as he usually did, Saul had a spear in his hand, and he hurled it, saying to himself, "I'll pin David to the wall." But David eluded him twice. Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with David, but it departed from Saul. And so he sent David away from him and gave him command over 1,000 troops. And David led the troops in their campaign. And in everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. And when Saul saw how successful he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he led them in their campaigns. Let's pray and ask God to bless this word. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for your revelation to us. We thank you for the stories that the Bible contains, and may they move us and shake us and stir our own hearts so that in the end we look more like Jesus. Be with us today as we see what your word says. Hear our prayer. Amen. There has been a study on envy in America. And here's what the psychological survey says. Envy is a widespread experience in America between those who are 18 years old and those who are 80 years old. Over 75% of those surveyed said they experienced envy in the last year. Women, you are slightly ahead of the men in the sin of envy. It's like 79 to 74%. And here's the biggest area where envy is present. Anybody want to take a guess? Money. Money is what people are envious of. They look at what somebody else has. They want that same amount of money. And 54% said that it had a negative impact on their life in some way. Now, here are some issues that people are envious about. For women, looks. For men, their vocation. In other words, for the guys, that guy has a better job. I'm envious of him. I'm even jealous of him. For women, oh, your next door neighbor just had plastic surgery. She looks better than I do. All the next door neighbors are over at her house because she looks better than I do. Now, envy is one of, I call it a socially acceptable sin because we don't hear a lot about it. It's not like one of the biggies, like adultery, murder. But it's in the Bible. One of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet. And because it's in the Ten Commandments, it is a serious violation of God's law. And what we want to look at today is a story of where envy is present. In our day, we are envious because of advertisements and what others have. Someone once said, if envy were a fever, the whole world would be ill. Well, here, in this passage, there is envious of Saul. And Saul is envious of the success of David. So let's see what the situation is at first, which gave rise to the sin of Saul. And finally, where is the salvation in this passage? Well, here's the situation. David is being greatly blessed. Remember, he was the youngest son. He should not have risen to fame. It should have been his older brothers. But the Lord was with David from the get-go and saved David as he tended the sheep, had to deal with wild bears and wild lions. And we all know what happened last week. David faced the heavyweight champion of the Middle East, Goliath. He did not fit into the armor that Saul gave him. He faced a lot of negativity, but with a sling and some stones, the big man went down and hit the ground. Why? Was it because of David's ingenuity alone? Was it because of his physical skills? No. The Bible specifically says it was none of those things. It was because God was with him. And look at what is happening here in the first few verses of 18. Jonathan, the son of Saul, the crown prince, the heir apparent, becomes close friends with David. And notice what your Bible says in verse 1. They became one in spirit. Other translations say closely knit. They were great buddies. What do we say today? They're bros, right? Buddies. They were in the army together, I guess you could say. And they had this bond between them. In fact, in verse 3 it says that they made a covenant, which would be like an agreement in which they would look out for each other. And keep going on here because there's something that interesting that's going to happen in verse 4. After it says that Jonathan loved David as himself, what does he do? Jonathan takes off his clothes, his weapons, and gives it to David. Now, that should not have happened. It should be the other way around. David should have given the crown prince all these things. But no, it is Jonathan who gives them to David. It's as if Jonathan is saying, I know one day you're going to be the king, and I'm giving you the respect of the heir apparent. So he's got this friendship here with the king's son. And then here's the other thing that happens. I call it the pep rally, as the troops were coming home and the women are singing the following. Saul had slain his thousands and David's his tens of thousands. All the women in the land are saying, look, this David fellow, he is a great warrior. He kills more than Saul, and Saul's our king. Right there, he is ripe to become jealous. Why is Saul going to be jealous? Because of the success of David. And in verse 14, it tells us clearly, in everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. What is the situation? It's this. Someone is having great success. The Lord is blessing them. But there are others who are envious of that. And that is a situation you will have to face as well. Because it happens all the time in this world. And what you will have a temptation for is to become very, very envious of someone. Let me put it this way. Think of this. There's an NFL quarterback. He has been the most valuable player of his team. He has gone to Pro Bowls. He is a great quarterback. Great arm. Even has running ability. But he's getting older. He's now past 30. He doesn't have quite the quickness that he used to have. The accuracy is a little off. And the team is drafted with their first pick, a quarterback, and I won't name the school because I don't want to make anyone upset this morning. Let's just say a major university. And already the coaches are impressed with him because he is well built. He is fast. He can throw. The newspapers are saying he's the future of the team. And he starts getting more playing time. So what do you think is going through the mind of that NFL quarterback who has been the star of the show? I got to do something. I'm not helping this kid. I'm going to ask for more money even. Envious. How about this? Let's just say you're the CEO of a major company. And early in your career, you had all these great ideas about how the country or the company could get better and better and better. And guess what? They worked. But now you've gotten older. The ideas are not working. So they've hired a new vice president. He has some different ideas. And now they're working. And the board of directors, very impressed, raise his salary until it's almost the same as yours. How do you think that CEO feels? Jealous. Envious. Now that happens to those people. They're in business, they're in sports. I can tell you, it happens in the church world too. I've got to tell you, I am often tempted to be envious. In fact, at times, maybe I have been envious. Because you hear all the news about, oh, this church is growing, that church is growing, thousands are saved. And yet, day after day, you prepare sermons, you do what a minister does, and there does not seem to be any success. I think I get a little envious. Yeah, I do. And you know what happens in the church world when that type of thing starts happening? You start saying negative things about the bigger churches and those that are successful. That's the situation. It may happen to you at work. It may happen to you in the neighborhood. But that is the situation you are going to find yourself in at times. God may be blessing someone more than you. And this is where the sin factor comes in of envy. Look at what is going on here. At a very basic level, this is what envy is. It is an over desire to have what someone else has. Now, let me put it like this. Desire to have something isn't bad. Let's just say I go into the ice cream store and there is a guy who's got mint chocolate chip ice cream. And I say to myself, man, that looks good. I think I'll have one of those. Did I want what he had? Yes, and I also paid for it. But let's say there's another instance where I see the man getting the mint chocolate chip ice cream. I don't have the money, so I start thinking about a way to take his ice cream. Now, you may think that's crazy, but let me tell you about a story when I was in Europe one time. If you go to Paris, they have gypsies all over the place. Girl got an ice cream cone, walking along. The gypsies are there begging. This gypsy woman takes her finger, puts it in the girl's ice cream cone. She tosses it. The gypsy then goes to the trash can, gets the ice cream cone out. You wouldn't think that would happen over ice cream. Yes, it does. People get very upset about their ice cream. Envy. That's what it is. And there's a sense where we want something we don't have. Let me tell you, it's called covetousness in the Ten Commandments. The Tenth Commandment. That's important, isn't it? And listen to what the Longer Catechism says. And this is why you read the Longer Catechism. The sins forbidden in the Tenth Commandment are envying and grieving about the good of our neighbor, together with an inordinate motions and affections to anything he has. In other words, you want what your neighbor has too much. Too much to the time where you are willing to do something negative or blatantly sinful. Want a biblical example? Rachel is envious of Leah because she's having all the kids. Why did the Jews put Christ to death? It tells us envy. They envied the Savior. And in 1 Corinthians 13:4, it says, love does not envy. Now, here's the result. What does Saul try to do? He is so envious that he tries to kill David with a spear. It tells us twice. You read the rest of what's going to go on after chapter 18 over and over again. Saul is trying to kill him because he's envious of his success. And you're saying, well, how does that apply to me? Let me give you some examples. Do you realize in America there's what is known as sneaker violence? There is what's called Air Jordan violence. That is where someone has a new pair of sneakers, probably the designer type. Someone else wants the sneakers. So what do? Beat up the kid with the new sneakers. That happens. There's even been murders over sneakers. That is because of envy. Someone once said this, envy provides the mud that failure throws at success. And in this case, it was a spear. So when we look at this passage, we got to keep in mind what 1 Peter says. Put away envy. Do not become envious. Listen to what I said earlier about the surveys. They said that people who were envious were miserable. Do you want to go around all your days concerned about what other people have, which you do not have? And even if you've got what they have, someone else is going to come along that's going to even have more or better or even look better. You may be envious of the promotion that someone gets at work, But if you got that promotion, there'd be another job that you'd want. It never works out that way that we are going to be 100% happy with anything. So if someone gets to go on a cruise and you don't because you can't afford it, don't be envious of them. God is blessing them. If someone gets a new car and you can't afford it, don't be envious of them. It's the blessings of God. If someone gets a new house that's bigger than yours, don't be envious. Instead, what we are told to do is put it away and to love, to be content with what God has given you. In most of our cases, it's pretty good. Pretty good. The $40 sneakers are just as good as the $300 ones. They'll do the same. I went to the teaching conference in Orlando about 2 weeks ago. Here was a story. This guy, the speaker, he's a tennis shoe collector. He collects the designer sneakers. Now, you wouldn't have heard of such a thing, but yes, they do. So his dad came over to the house. His dad is older, you know, 80 years old or whatever. And the trash needs to be taken out. Dad had his shoes off. Guess what the dad did? Went and got those designer sneakers. Took them out for the trash. The guy's a little upset at first, but then it hit him. Well, what are sneakers for? But to wear. So whether they are $300 sneakers or the $50 ones you got on sale at Shoe Station, it doesn't matter. God's blessing that he's giving you. And we need to not look at others through the eyes of envy. Well, that's a sin. That's the situation. So what's the salvation then? I want you to notice who the opposite of Saul is in this. It's Jonathan. Jonathan is the one who gives. Jonathan is the one who is not envious. Jonathan, out of his love for David, is willing to thank God for David's success. And possibly even saying, David, you know, I really don't want this kingship. You can have it. That's fine with me. There are some who think that Jonathan is sort of prefiguring Christ at this point. And let's look at Christ. Was Christ envious? He had to fulfill the Ten Commandments perfectly. If anything in his life, Christ gave up. Why? For your blessings. Gave up the glories of heaven. Gave up the riches of heaven to come into this world to redeem you. Gave it up so that you could benefit from his grace and generosity. Christ could have said, I'm not doing that. Christ could have looked at the Pharisees and said, man, I need to be as well known as they are for their teaching. Christ could have looked at the Roman centurions and said, I need that type of power. Didn't do it. In fact, he was tempted. Many of those things. But Christ said, no. My will is to do the Father's will. My will is to love sinners so much that I'm willing to give up my life to save them. All of us in here have envied. All of us have sinned against God in this one way or another. We have violated the 10th commandment, let's be honest. But what we need is a new desire. And that new desire comes from Christ, who has blessed you with something far greater than looks or property or money. You have been given eternal life. And all these things that we go around envying in this world, whether it's position or reputation, that's childishness because the glories of heaven, which are guaranteed to you, are much better than any of that in this world. Christ did that for you. Envy. I hope this passage teaches you to avoid it like the plague. But if we're going to avoid it, look at Christ, who did not envy you nor the power brokers of this world, but was willing to give it up so that you might have the riches of heaven. Let's pray and ask God to bless us this day. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that your Spirit will come upon us and convince us that we are heaven bound, and convince us that going through our life worrying about what others have and we don't have is a royal waste of time. And it can destroy our lives. It can lead to great sin, whether it is murder or character assassination. Oh Lord God, help us not to be envious of those who are successful by your hand. Hear our prayer this morning. Amen.